Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, athletes? Welcome to a very special episode of the Doing This For You podcast with me, your coach, Danielle Wilson. The reason this episode is so special is because we're going to be talking about something very important to me and the entire Tone & Sculpt family, and that is Black History Month. This is the first of four episodes dedicated to this important occasion. So let's get right into it. This is my fun fact, guys. This is my very first podcast recording ever. And I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. But, you know, I always say you got to use that nervous energy. That nervous energy is a good thing. It's a signal of growth. It is a sign that you are about to step outside your comfort zone and do something different. So, that's what we're doing right here. We're growing, we're doing something different, and we're going to learn as we go. So today I have a very special guest with me on this first podcast. Her name is Kelsey Damiana. She is an intuitive healer, a coach, an author, a certified yoga instructor, and her most important title here, team, is that she is my cousin. My cousin, my little cousin, my little sister, basically. I am so grateful to have her on this podcast with me here today. She's also, fun fact, a Tone & Sculpt user. We'll get into that later. But Kelsey, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
You're so, so welcome. I couldn't imagine doing my first podcast with anyone besides family. And that is why I'm so grateful. I feel like you of all people know me to my core very, very well. So this will be a little bit of an eye-opening, fun experience for all the athletes out there to get to know me and you as well. And with this year's theme of Black History Month, 2021, there's always themes. If you didn't know, this year's theme is the Black family. Representation, identity, and diversity. What better else than to have my family on the podcast with me? So once again, thank you so much. How about you introduce yourself to the people, sis? Let them know who you are. I want this to be fun, conversational, and I want you guys to really just be able to feel, you know, a real talk between two Black women, two family members, two cousins, and we're just going to give you a look inside of what that looks like for us. So Kelsey, give us a little intro, sis.
All right. Well, I am a retired professional basketball player.
Oh, I forgot that. I left that out. I left that out. That's like the credential. I left that out. My like bad.
Kind of a big thing. But okay. So okay. So there's that. Played in Poland, Romania, Mexico, Spain. After that, I transitioned into, you know, regular civilian life. And that was shell shocking. Like, it was very shocking.
Yeah.
You know, kind of lost myself along the way. Met my now husband. We had a family, and now we have two kids. And along that journey, he also plays basketball professionally, too. And that comes with its own challenges. Nothing that I can't overcome. And so I've helped other women now overcome those same challenges too, with raising families with young kids and having a husband who just physically isn't able to like be there hands-on right. with you to help you with, you know, day-to-day operations and
right.
things like that, because he is overseas most of the time, or we right. go overseas with him and he's still not really there because
right. I mean, he's practicing, traveling, doing all the things. So you went from professional athlete to, and just to give a little context, let everyone know how old you are. Cause I feel like you're a young, I feel like you're a young mom. Like I, like,
yeah,
like I'm 31. You're, say it again.
28. You don't know how old I am?
Yes, I do. I wanted you to be able to say that. Yes. 28. Cause I cut you off. My bad. So you're 28. Like, I guess that's not super young, but I don't know. Maybe it's because you're my little cousin. I just feel like you're always going to just be like the baby to me, but you know, it is a big thing. It's a full-time job, obviously, of course, to be yeah. running the entire household and have these two kids under two. And yeah. like, that's wild. I know yeah. I go visit you and I'm like, I need a nap and I'm just babysitting. Like, I'm not even doing anything. I'm just like the fun relief of the day. And I honestly, you know, I really don't understand, like, I don't know how you do it every single day. And like, just from my visits that I go out to, whenever you guys see me out in Scottsdale, I'm visiting my cousin Kelsey. And when I stay with her, it's just amazing to watch her, you know, because I've watched her grow up. So it's amazing to see just the transformation from this little baby girl bouncing around that's just like, you know, Juniper's age. Juniper is her eldest daughter, my bestie. And just like to see the mother that she is now, like it's wild to watch. But so I want to know a little bit more about your story from, because, you know, you tell people I'm this professional basketball player, but what they don't know is that you started as a freshman Poms dancer in high school. Yeah. So like, tell me a little bit about the transition from Poms to pro basketball. Like, what?
Yeah, it's wild. So I danced my whole life since I was maybe like two. My mom put me in dance. She was a dancer. She also was on the Poms team in college at Purdue. So right. like dance.
Oh yeah,
within,
I forgot about Aunt Denise yeah. doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it just like ran in the blood. I mean, basketball ran in my blood too with my dad.
True.
You know, being a professional basketball player too. But like, I don't know, I just always danced, right?
Right.
Freshman year, got to high school. Okay, let's.
We have the video VHS yeah. tapes to prove it with the dancing. Maybe I'll share some of those one day, but wow.
Please don't. What you guys don't know about Danielle is she, when we were younger, I'm just pivoting for just a second.
Yeah, pivot, sis, pivot.
Oh my gosh. She used to direct, like she was a creative director. She was like executive producer. Like she would do the scripts and the writing for like these home movies, right? Like yes. their choreography. Like, and she just like made up, like me and my little brother Chandler.
Yes.
Partake in this because she was an only child and like we were like her siblings, you know, so she
right.
just forced us to do all this crazy stuff and there's video evidence of
yes yes I full-on directed motion pictures with them, so this is that yes. is hilarious. I'll show some of those one day.
I'm
but
like praying that you don't, because that was like the awkward stage for me, but also, you know what, show the people, right? The glow up is real.
Yes, yes. All right, so Poms to pro basketball now.
Yes,
pro athlete. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you said you kind of lost yourself for a second after you know, you left your sport, and I can relate to that as well, and I'm sure a lot of the athletes listening that ever played a sport in high school or college, you know, after you leave your sport, you kind of go through this feeling of like, okay, like, what do I do now? Like, who am I now? I think a lot of us tie our identities to sports growing up, like as athletes growing up. Like, I would say I am a basketball player. I would say I am a cheerleader, you know? So
yeah,
for me, like, that was extremely difficult. I've talked about that before on podcasts, but let me give us a little insight into, you know, how that transition was for you.
Yeah, so it was like, it was a rough one because my journey to get to a professional level to play at that level, it wasn't easy either. Like, I was not this young, talented star that just from the jump was just like, oh, she's going places. No, I was an awkward, uncoordinated, tall, lanky, clumsy girl, right, in high school. When I transitioned from Palms to basketball, like, I tried out my sophomore year and made varsity, but, like, it wasn't off of talent. It was more so off of, like, potential.
Right.
Like, oh, ooh, I like she's that. 5'10". Oh, she's 5'10". Okay, we can, like, work with this. Oh, okay, like, you know, like, she comes from an athletic family. Like, we can work with this.
Right.
You know, like, oh, maybe people were saying, okay, you know, like, her dad's Cliff Levingston. Like, he played for the Bulls. Like, it runs in the blood. It's in the genes. Like, let's kind of mold and shape this.
Yeah.
So a lot of my high school path was, like, based off of potential. But then it was, like, junior year, I received, like, letters of intent and all this stuff and finally committed and got Division I scholarship to go play at Miami University. And even then, when I was playing in college, I was not a star. I was not very active in rotation. Like, I wasn't. Like, maybe freshman, sophomore year, maybe I got, like, 5 or 7 minutes out of 40.
Right.
Like, literally was in there to, like, relieve someone so they could catch their breath. And then I would come back out.
Right. Like, right. Yeah.
That was my role for, like, the first, like, 2 years of playing in college. And then junior year, like, they started to see more potential in me. They're like, okay, we can use you a little bit more. But even my senior year still didn't stick out or, like, stand out. Like, maybe I played, like, 20 minutes, which still is not a lot of time on a 40-minute game. So transitioning to college or to professional, like, again, I, like, had a solid senior year, but it wasn't anything like, oh, this girl's going places. It still was, like, easily you could end your career here and, like, go on to corporate America. So when I finally made it to professional, like, I felt really proud of myself because I was
as
a little,
you should.
Like, not even, like, ugly duckling, but, you know, like, the little, like I said, the awkward, lanky, like, uncoordinated little girl who made it to professional level.
That, I mean, yeah, so that's incredible. I think you were, like, it wasn't handed to you. It wasn't given to you. Like, you had to really, truly work so hard to get there. And I think that in itself is super inspirational. Like, you know, a lot of people would look at me and be like, oh, she's athletic. Like, it's easy for, like, no, we have to work to get to where we are and to be accomplish things like that and to be where we are today. So, like, that, I mean, that's crazy. And you should be so, so proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Sad. I don't like hearing you describe yourself as an ugly duckling, though. That just kind of hit me in the
I know. I don't feel that way now, but, like, you know, 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
Down
the evolution, like, is there.
Yeah.
The glow is real.
For sure.
The glow is real.
That also, like, goes in, like, with other stuff, too, like, the way that we grew up, like, the environment that we grew up in, like, the high school that we went to, like, all amazing opportunities, but just being a Black girl growing up in, like, a mostly predominantly white area, like, messes with your confidence and your self-esteem and your worth and all that stuff, and we can definitely dive into that, and I know that's a
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's dive right into that.
Oh, we're going there?
Yeah, we go in there, baby. We go in there.
Identity. But the identity shift when I stopped playing, though.
Yeah.
That was, like, because I felt so proud of myself and, like, I placed so much value in getting to that highest level at the professional level that when I stopped playing, it was like, wait, what now? Right. I wasn't preparing for this. Like, I worked so hard to get here.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, then what?
Now I just kind of, it's like, what? So that's where I did some soul searching, got into yoga, spent some time with myself to really get to know, like, you know, my values and beliefs. And just from there, that's when, like, the whole spiritual path and yoga and coaching and stuff came into fruition. So
I love that. I mean, the evolution is clear. I love that, you know, you've always kind of, you know, been able to take a path less traveled and being able to, you know, step out of, like, the norm, I feel like, because a lot of people would say, you know, it looked easy from the outside, but it really wasn't for you. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't for me either growing and going to the high school that we did. I think this is like an extremely important topic that I want to discuss. Like that identity and the way going to a predominantly white high school, like we both did, I would say what it was maybe 1 or 2% black. We stuck out at every single turn. We were always that token black friend in I was the token black cheerleader. I was the token black friend. Like I've always personally, and you can kind of like agree or disagree, but I've always felt one that haven't been black enough to hang out with black people. And I haven't been, clearly I'm not white. So it's like, you know, like I'm not white enough to, you know, truly feel on the same level as white people. And or like truly feel accepted by the white community. And I think that struggle is so hard to come to terms with. And I don't want to use the word traumatic because I don't feel like, you know, that is trauma per se, but it really is.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Something that you have to like learn to deal with and overcome. Because you do feel like you are at a disadvantage. You do feel like you are always being looked at. You're always, people are always projecting certain stereotypes onto you. And are you living up to those stereotypes enough, you know, or not enough? Like it goes both ways, like positive and negative stereotypes. Like, I'm probably one of a few black people they know. So there's pressure to feel like, you know, all like what someone thinks about black people in general is all riding on you. And that is like, that's tremendous pressure and it's unfair. And while, you know, me and you were incredibly, incredibly blessed and fortunate to grow up the way that we did and go to a phenomenal high school, the lack of diversity, I would say, was damaging. For sure. Yeah, for sure. 100%. Like building our identity, it like was hard. It was harder. Like, and you can kind of speak to your experience. That's kind of how I felt about going to that high school.
Yeah. Everything that you said, I fully agree with. Experienced it, and it's something that I've had to heal from. And you said it wasn't traumatic. Like, I will say it from my healer coaching standpoint, 100% was traumatic.
Okay.
And the thing about trauma is it doesn't have to like be a good or a bad thing. It's just something that is. And from something that is, it's like, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do about this information? All trauma is just information, right? When you get triggered, when I, you know, get, if someone says something to me and it puts me back in that place or whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, what are you going to do about it? Right? Like,
right.
I'm fully aware that I'm triggered and like put back into that like 14-year-old
insecure little body. Like, yep.
Yeah. Like if someone says something mean to me, you know, in my comments on Instagram or like whatever, if I see, you know, Juniper, my 2-year-old getting treated a certain way or whatever it is, and I immediately like get my mama bear like instinct, like, you know, and I want to just like, it's tense up, like it gets in my throat, it gets in my shoulders, like right. that's where I feel it. But I have to just check myself and like, okay, what are you going to do about this? And so that's why I love talking about this, because if we bring more awareness to it,
right.
it normalizes people's experiences, and then they don't feel like they're so alone.
Yes.
And you can grow from it. And so like high school, I'm thinking about like all the school dances. Like fun fact, I only went to one high school dance. And why? Because it was turnabout. I asked the guy, and guess what the guy was, Nick? And we were supposed, it was like the
yes. Oh my God. That, like, yes. We I forgot about together. That. Yes.
Yeah. Eric King.
We were, oh, put him on blast like that, sis. But no, yes, I like, it was expected that I would be always going to every dance with this kid. I'm not gonna say his name. You know who I'm talking about. But it was expected that like we were to go to every dance together because we were the two Black people.
Yeah, it's like not fair either to have.
And then
that,
when he
like...
didn't ask me to the dance. Like that stung that much more, you know? So like,
yeah,
that, I mean,
no, that's true.
And that kind of leads me into like my next topic a little bit, which is just the importance of representation. And what you said yeah. about what you said about the, like you, us talking about these things, normalizing that and normalizing these experiences. That's why it's so important to have these conversations and give this platform to Black voices so other Black girls don't feel so alone and don't feel like, you know, it is all on them to carry everything. And also it's important that representation is so important because, you know, you might not think that certain things are possible for you if you don't see someone that looks like you coming before you. And so for me as like a fitness trainer, I hate the word influencer, so I never describe myself as that. But as a trainer that like, you know, with a presence on Instagram and social media, it is so important for me to continue to show up no matter how I'm feeling, good, bad, whatever it is. It's important for me to be able to show my range of emotions too. That's a whole nother topic. Trying to make sure you're not yeah. the angry Black woman in a situation, yeah. but being able to show up and authentically as I am authentically to be able to show Black women, Black girls that we deserve this space too. And we belong here yeah. and it's possible for us too. Something that my mom actually said to me once that has stuck with me. I wonder if Aunt Denise kind of said the same thing to you. Kind of
yeah,
moving
curious,
along
like,
into moving along into the role of just like the Black mother.
Yeah.
But my mom always told me like, you are going to have to work twice as hard for half the recognition. And you're going to have to work yeah. twice as hard for half the acknowledgement and half the respect. And that's something that I've always carried with me. And like, it's an unfortunate truth.
Yep.
I hate even like having to like, address that and say that out loud, but I mean like that's just facts. And I think that really speaks to my work ethic and it speaks to my consistency, and I think it speaks to your ability to like the way you never quit, the way you were like overlooked at some points, and you know the like way people were like, oh, let's give her the benefit of the doubt, like wasn't really the star player, but you never quit. You never quit. No. You kept working. You got to that professional level really against all odds. So Like,
and I killed at the professional level too, just to put that there. I finally did catch up to my potential. But because, right. like you said, the work ethic, right?
Right.
Like,
right. I mean, you worked hard. So clearly, you don't just like get put on a professional team. You clearly, the work caught up or paid off, we'll say. So,
yeah. No, but definitely, you do have to work twice as hard. You can even like take that and look at actresses, you know, that are Black. And you just look at the roles that they play or like the salary gap and just anything like that. It's just, it's prevalent across all boards, mm-hmm. being a Black woman. Not that it's a disadvantage, but like it's going to take a lot more. I mean, it low-key kind of is a disadvantage. It is and it isn't. We're so phenomenal and we're so strong. And like we're such like a rare divine. I love that word, divine. But like we are divine. Like we are divine. Feminine beings, and I think once we really harness our power and act like it and rise up, despite all of the BS and the extra work and the challenges that come in your way, like, just gotta keep climbing. You have to keep going. You'll rise to the top, like you will.
Yeah, so let's kind of like, I'm curious, because you are, right, like, so you are a mother of two. This is something I can't really, you know, speak to yet. One day, not yet though. How would you define the role of, you know, the Black mother today? Because unfortunately, like, the roles are different. The role of a Black mother is different. There is more of a constant fear. There is I don't even know how to explain it, but my mom, like, and I'll let you explain it from your perspective, but all I can kind of speak from is how my mom protected me always. I ran into bunches of different, you know, prejudicial situations growing up in schools and in my junior high school. And I just remember my mom always saying, as long as you are in the right, as long as you tell the truth, as long as you are honest, I will go to war for you, and I will not back down. And she fought for me. She had to fight for me in certain instances where I was being discriminated against in school. And like, that's just not something a white mom has to worry about as much as a Black mother would. So I just like the strength that a Black mother must have to be and exist. Like, what does the role of that Black mother look like for you, having two Black children, raising them,
two Black girls.
Yeah. Let's speak to that.
Yeah, it's eye-opening. I realize, like, every single day I get deeper into motherhood, every single day that, you know, passes, it hits me and it sinks in a little bit deeper that, like, motherhood, being a Black mother, it's super important. Like, it is an integral piece to everything. Like, the importance of a Black mother and, like, her presence, how much she's involved with, you know, raising her kids, the values that she instilled.
The confidence she has to instill.
Yeah. Not even instill, but also embody. Because if I don't embody this, how on earth are my girls going to be able to act and walk and be comfortable and confident in their skin?
Yes!
I'm so fortunate. And, like, I constantly, like, I just reevaluate and just, like, reflect on growing up and having my mom as my mom, because, like, I'm like, yo, you're phenomenal, mom. Like,
we were very lucky.
Amazing.
We were very,
and like,
blessed.
I look at your mom too, like, just how she parented a little bit different than like how my mom did, but still like in that same realm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the love,
be able to experience that.
Yeah,
from your mom too, and my mom, and Aunt Val, and me, mommy. Like, that's our grandma. Like,
yeah, me mommy is our grandma, for everyone wondering. But I mean, there were a little, you know, a little bit of different parenting styles, but I think that just comes from, you know, you having siblings and me being that only child, but also the one thing that never wavered was the love, the respect, and the just like instilling of values, like instilling of like making sure that we are good people first before anything else. And that is something that, you know, we can never take for granted. We were incredibly, incredibly blessed. But I love what you said, like it forces you to embody that confidence that you are trying to instill in your like young Black daughters. And if like some of you guys don't know, but like when I, if you haven't seen this on my story, when I go visit Kelsey, I will say my affirmations with Juniper. And that is, you know, that's just as much of a reminder when I say, like, I have her say I'm beautiful. Actually, I don't even say, I don't have her say I'm beautiful. I have her say I am loved. My voice matters. I'm confident. She says
that's my favorite one.
I am confident. But no, I have her say affirmations that don't have anything to do with her looks. I have her say affirmations that, you know, are that are more values, and you know, those are in turn reminders to my own self. So I love that. That is,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's super important.
Your level of consciousness, I peeped it from the very first time that you said that, and I probably cried my eyes out later that night. I don't think I told you that.
You did?
Just like, it warmed my heart. Just like, one, that you love my babies.
Don't make me cry on my first podcast. Don't make me cry on my first podcast, sis.
Light it up. But then, just like the things that you were saying, though, that's also just, it's funny because we were in so much alignment, because those are the things that I tell her all the time. I compliment her on like her personality or like the values, or like, oh, I'm proud of you for finding a way to get it done.
Right.
Or I'm proud of you for figuring it out. Or, you know, you didn't quit and you kept going and look what happened. Or you got up again after you fell. Like, those are the compliments and those are like the encouragements and things that I give her, and hear you and like see you guys doing that together. It was really powerful and it was so beautiful. And you are going to be such a great mother. Whoever that baby is, it's going to be great.
I can't even imagine or like think about that right now.
But I know, but
definitely like that makes me feel good, because I definitely go into those baby situations not knowing jack about anything. Okay. I have no idea what's going on. I just try to, you know, instill that confidence. And I think that, you know, I think that's something that Black girls don't get enough of.
Yep.
Are, definitely. You know, those examples, that representation, that intentionality of instilling that confidence and reinsurance that they matter. Their voice matters, that they're powerful, that they are not a second-class citizen.
I will tell you about the voice matters. That one got me too, because I remember I used to just put my head down, not want to be seen. My posture is still something I'm working on, because I just like to slump and just not be noticed, because being tall, being Black, being a woman, like, it's just, you stand out, right?
Right.
So, like, I learned to shrink myself from a very young age, right? People please, just do as you're told, don't rock the boat. Even if something's wrong, just, you know, not like if something's wrong, but like if someone's saying something to you that's not right, you just take it, right?
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times I got called the N-word. I hate that word, right? Like, and I don't really like the word hate either, but, like, that's how much I dislike that word so much. I don't use that word. I don't.
Me either.
Because I was called that so many times growing up. And I don't even know if I told anybody really either. Because again, I just learned from an early age, if you just take it and don't rock the boat and just silence and, you know, don't use your voice, everything kind of just like stays okay.
It stays okay for, it makes the people saying that to you more comfortable. But you have to deal with all of that internally. Which is not fair.
So, like, I used to just, like, sacrifice myself and compromise myself for the comfort of other people, for white people, right, to make them feel comfortable instead of, like, shrinking myself so that I wouldn't be, again, like, that angry Black woman. You know, I saw that as a young age, that stereotype, or to be you know, no one wants, like, when you're young and, like, in middle school or whatever, in elementary school, you want to have friends,
in.
Right?
Yeah, you want to fit you in. You want to be popular.
So if you say this stuff, or if you, you know, clap back, or if you tell somebody, or, like, you know, tattletale on the person that said it, no one's going to want to hang out with you.
Right.
And I just, like, it was a whole thing. And so I say all that to say thank you for telling Juniper, my two-year-old, that her voice matters, because I tell her that all the time, and I will always listen to her, always.
Yeah.
And teach her how to respond in those situations. That's something that was, it was a misstep for me.
Me too.
And I'm sure, I know that my mom, she talked about it, and, like, we were aware of it, but it almost was like, but what do we do? Like,
yeah.
It wasn't kind of, like, laid out, like, the different paths, like, okay, you could do this, and then, like, this most likely will happen, or, like, here's what you can say when someone calls you this. Like, I didn't feel confident to, like, speak up. And again, that's, like, partially of, like, my, just, like, how I am as a person,
mm-hmm.
but partially also just from the environment that we grew up in. And
right.
So I'm making sure that when she gets of school age, you know, I'm just going to teach her, you know, if someone speaks to you, like, and it's all from love and from a place of just of love, right? And, like, higher consciousness, really. I'm not
right.
trying to hurt anyone's feelings by, you know, you don't call them, and that's it. Like, no, I'm not saying, like, clap back at them, but just speak
right.
up, tell them that's not right. And
right.
feel comfortable and confident saying that
feel
what they're saying is
standing
mean
up for
or
yourself.
Hurtful.
Yeah. Feel confident
yeah.
defending yourself, standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
so interesting because, like, we are obviously two different people, but I can relate to that experience of not being able to feel confident standing up for myself as a Black person. Like,
yeah.
For, and I would say I never, this is, you know, it's, I don't, it's hard for me to admit it, but I would say that I did not feel comfortable speaking at, like, as a Black woman, defending myself and standing up for certain things until 2020. So until last year. So I would say it took me 30 years to find my voice as a Black woman. 30 years.
Yeah.
And like that is, you know, it's, that's just a testament to, you know, I'm a grown adult. Like, right? Like, I'm a grown adult, but I'm still
yeah.
doing my best to assimilate to white culture, to not
yeah.
to be more liked, to be
yeah.
to not make other people feel uncomfortable, to make them feel like, oh, I'm as one of them as possible. Like, I'm not like other Black girls, or I, like,
yeah.
I can't
oh,
even tell you
the like
amount
the
of time, like the times that, and it's, and this is on me too. The times that people would be like, oh, you're pretty for a Black girl.
For a Black girl.
Yeah.
For a
you're
Black
pretty
girl.
For a Black girl. Or just like, oh, you got that good hair. Like, you know, so,
yeah.
like stuff like that. And hair.
Oh, gosh. That's the whole thing too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Hair growing up in yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're both rocking some, well, I got some feet in braids, but I mean these
yeah,
are, I would say
no,
like
you're embracing who you are, right?
Right.
And
there was a point in time where I would say like, no, I don't want to get braids because it looks it might be deemed as unprofessional or
oh,
it
gosh.
Might be intimidating to other people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it feels it just honestly like being able to just wear my hair the way that I want to and be able to express how I feel about certain situations and how and have people and not that I need other people's approval, but just like have people lately being more supportive of me embracing my Blackness, it is such like a lift off my chest.
Yeah, because you were carrying that burden for so long, carrying that weight for so long, that it's good to finally get to that point where you are comfortable and you have done the work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've addressed all these things and you're able to transmute that energy, right? And you have this platform, which is massive. So by you speaking your truth, using your voice, embodying this confidence that we all talked about, like, you don't know the ripple. I mean, maybe you do know, but I don't think that you realize. And I always tell you this all the time. the ripple that you create is massive, Danny Wilson. Like,
yeah, massive. She calls me Danny Wilson, everybody.
Yeah, and she calls me Kelsey, even though I go by Dami on them.
But yeah, those are just going to stick forever. But
yeah, it's just like, yeah, and just that the fact that I have noticed this shift lately too. Like, you would never wear braids, only like when we went on vacation or like spring break or like winter break.
When it was normal for white people to go get their hair braided on vacation, that's when I felt like I could.
Right, I went to Jamaica for spring break and come back with cornrows and whatever they're.
We're not even going to talk about the appropriation of that, but. But yeah, no, I mean, big shifts,
yeah,
big weights.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks, girl. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us.
I am proud of us. I am.
Okay.
Definitely. So, hair, though, is a big thing.
Yes.
And like with my girls, too, I know that I am notorious for, I'll put in quotes, not doing her hair. And part of it is like, it's a process, right? Like, it's a process. So sometimes I don't necessarily make the time to do it, but a lot of the times it's intentional why I leave it the way that I do. And people may not know this, but it's like, for so long, my hair, if you are watching this, you can see like the texture of it. But like, in our family, it's one of the coarser textures. It's tighter coiled.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more, it takes more love and attention to manage it and to like,
yes,
comb through it and to do stuff with it. And my favorite hair memory is my mom braiding my hair. Like, that's my favorite. Like, she used to do box braids. But other than that, my hair experience sucks. Like, I'm not going to lie. It just sucks. Having to wash at the kitchen sink with a hot comb in my grandma's kitchen.
Right.
She'd be trying to press my hair and it like burns and singes your hair in the back of your neck. And I'm like,
yeah, it was not comfortable trying to. And again, what are we trying to do when we're pressing and like straightening our hair?
Relaxers. Like, like sores on my scalp from the chemical relaxer burning my hair or my scalp. Like, and even from there too, I remember like sitting underneath the dryer, like wishing that my hair was more like yours. Like, I ever tell you that?
Mm-mm.
I like literally wish that I had hair that was like yours. I didn't even care. Like, you don't even need to go on the sliding field to like my mom or your mom or like Aunt Val or me mom, because my grandma has like bone straight, like long hair. I was like, let's just take this little tiny baby step. But it was like massive back then, because I really thought that our textures were like vastly different, and just like your hair was beautiful and my hair was just ugly and terrible and bad. But I always wished that I had your hair, because your hair was done faster. It didn't take as much effort. Like, it just laid down. You could flick your hair back with a brush and you had the little waves and just like.
And now how the tables have turned. I want that. I want that beautiful crown, you know, like, and I want that confidence of wearing my natural hair that you have. Like,
and you're going to get there, because you're making steps. Like, and the time that you let me bless your crown, like, and do your hair for you, I've enjoyed it. And your hair is beautiful. It really is. And I encourage my girls too. Like, my youngest is one, Irie. She literally has like a patch of like no hair, like a band in the back of her head. Like, no hair.
She looks like a little man sometimes, sis. Little grandpa, and then, like, Irie.
And then the top is missing too. So I'm just like, oh, your hair is beautiful, girl. Like, I love your texture.
We just go rub it out and we just go tell her it's beautiful until it grows in, because it will. But that is, hair is such a, you know, an effector of your confidence too, you know? So also growing up, for sure.
Yeah, you spend your whole life wishing your hair looks like something else, or with someone else's, or straighter, or, you know, requires less work. It's just like, it takes a toll on your self-esteem, your confidence, your worth. And so I'll leave Juniper's hair and just kind of like, just let it be in her natural state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just wash it and go, right? Do that baby's hair. Her hair is done.
Yeah.
Her hair is done. Her hair is all the way done.
Yeah.
What, like, because it's, especially in, like, corporate America, like, you have to have your hair done, which was, like, straight or, you know, presentable, professional, like how you talked about before. So, like, braids weren't really professional or deemed professional till, like, you know, recently or whatever. But
yeah.
Let her hair be, right? In its natural state, the way God created it. it's done.
Yeah. I mean, we have to take care of it to a certain extent to like keep it healthy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like moisturize. Like right. I'll still put the stuff in it, but I'm not like gonna
right.
blow dry.
You don't have to make it a process every single day. Yeah.
Curl up the way it wants to curl and so be it.
So what would you say then, you know, is your something that you hope to give to younger generations of our family? Like, what is something, and let's speak specifically to our, you know, the girls in our family. What is something that you would want them to know? This is a tough one because there's a lot. There's a lot that I want to pass down. But
yeah, like definitely, of course, everyone wants to pass down legacy, right? But more specifically, like the legacy I'm passing down, the legacy that I'm creating is it's really just one that you empower all of your abilities, right? All of your strengths, your less than ideal qualities about yourself, but you still love them. Like learning how to genuinely and fully love yourself unconditionally. Like that's what I want.
Black skin and all.
The generation. Yes. Like unconditional love for yourself, because when you are able to love yourself unconditionally, you're able to love other people unconditionally, and you're able to treat others with love. And like my mom always tells me that love is the most unlimited resource. And like me and my little brother, we were like laughing about it when she said a speech, and like we were in the audience, like I tell my kids all the time, love is the most unconditional resource or most unlimited resource. And we looked at each other like, what? She's never said that before. But
you and Chandler stay roasting on Denise.
But that day, like, it stuck with me because I'm like, oh, like, it is, though. Yeah. And then she's been saying it ever since, I think. Yeah. But that's just what I want to pass down, just that love for yourself and in that extent to others.
Yeah, I like that because I think when you're able to fully love yourself, you're able to
be yourself.
Well, like, that, but you're also able to empower your greatest self. Like when you love yourself, you're pouring into so many areas of yourself, physically, mentally, professionally, socially, emotionally, spiritually, all these things. When you are filling all of those cups, you're able to excel in all those different areas of your life. And so like when you describe it as a resource, I love that because those are the resources, that love for you, that respect for you, that ability to wake up every single day and do something for you because you love yourself enough to do it. Yeah. You respect yourself enough to do it. Like that is what makes you successful. That is what makes you a good person. That is what makes you someone that people want to be around. You know, like that is that light. That love it. Yeah. Like that love is that light.
Yep.
That like
and
that.
How many people are you going to be able to affect and like, infect with your love too?
And like,
when you encounter someone and you're just filled up with love, like there's nothing else that can be done except for that person to feel that and to take that on too. So you're just like emitting this frequency, this vibration. I'm getting all spiritual on you now.
That's okay, sis. We're in it deep. We preaching now.
Yes.
We preaching now.
That's like the highest frequency. It is. Love is the highest frequency. And so when you're able to emit that and transmit that, the magnetic field that you create around you, all it does is just attract more love and abundance and all the things that are for you.
Yes.
And in turn, the things that are usually for you are not really only for you. They're for other people.
Yes.
So like what we're doing right here, like this is super like therapeutic, I know, and like fun for us, but like all the people that are listening to this right now, like we're doing this for you.
It's to serve serve others. And I
like
there's a quote, I think it's an Martin Luther King quote, but it says like, and I'm just
very fitting.
Synopsizing. I don't know. I'm going to paraphrase, basically. But basically, it's like the greatest thing you can do, like, is to serve others. And, like, for me, I feel like everything I do is, yes, for me. It is for me. But I get the greatest joy out of serving others. Like, I feel like I'm like my why is to provide representation for others that are coming after me. My why is to, you know, make people that could relate to me feel seen. And I get the most joy out of the DMs, the messages, the love, and just like the way I feel like just by me stepping into myself fully has the power to affect others. So if you take one thing away from this podcast, I would just, you know, to anyone listening, black, white, purple, blue, green, whatever, like the more you can step into yourself and be authentically there and love every little nook and cranny, no matter, you know, how unworthy you may feel it might be, the more you can be vulnerable and transparent and love those things about yourself, the more you give others permission to do the same. And we all need that. So wow, Kels, we got kind of deep today. I'm sweating. I'm literally sweating. I don't know if like
me too.
obviously you can't see the sweat stains on a podcast, which I am extremely grateful for, but wow, this has been so eye-opening and so amazing. I think like just to be able to have these real conversations with you, Kelsey, like my family, my blood, you know, I would encourage, I learned things that I didn't know that how you felt. And I also was, you know, kind of like reassured that I wasn't the only one in some of the ways that I was feeling. So I would 100% encourage, especially, you know, this month, black women, to sit down with your family and have these conversations and just share these experiences. Uh-oh, who's, is that my bestie? Is that my bestie? Yeah. That is Juniper, everyone. Juniper, just for those who are listening, Juniper just walked on set of the camera. That is my girl, my best friend, Juniper, Kelsey's oldest. But
okay, she's listening. You can say something to her. Oh, you can't hear. I got my AirPods in. Just say hi, Nani. She can hear you. Okay, we tried.
That's okay. Juniper, that's my bestie right there. But all right, Kels, one of the major things that, you know, Tone & Sculpt is doing for Black History Month, and in addition to, you know, allowing me the platform or providing the platform for me to come on and amplify these Black voices, is, you know, giving a contribution to a charity organization of my guest's choice, which is so incredible. I think it's incredible to have, you know, amplify these Black voices. Like, yes, that's amazing and it's so appreciated, but what are the real resources that we're going to allocate to that mission to support the Black community? So I'm extremely grateful to just be and aligned with and a part of a family and a company that understands these things. So Kelsey, why don't you tell the people what charity organization you're donating to and why?
I think it's only fitting that I donate to Hair on Purpose. It is a nonprofit organization for Black women that specifically help you embody and embrace and just appreciate your hair for what it is instead of trying to change it. And I just really love this organization. They really help with, you know, confidence and self-worth, like all the stuff that we've been talking about today. Like, it's just in alignment with who I am and what I value. And I'm just excited because they have a bunch of different offerings and programs. They have different hair workshops and they have resources for all types of hair, whether it is relaxed, which is nothing wrong with relaxing your hair if that's what you choose. So natural hair, protective styles, scalp treatment, which Irie, we might need to get some resources for that. But I'm just excited and I'm really grateful that Tone & Sculpt is donating, you know, on my behalf and on our my choice. And I'm excited for this organization to continue to do the work that they're doing in the community and really amplify and empower Black girls and Black women all over the world through their hair.
Through their hair. Love it. Through that crown, baby. Well, yes. Kelsey, this has been so fun. I'm admittedly very nervous to come on here. I've never had this type of or done this type of format before, but I think I love podcasts so much because it gives you the space and the time to, you know, see where the conversation takes you and just talk and be open and be real and just go with the flow. So I appreciate you for being my very first podcast guest. I will never, ever forget this. I'm so grateful. You are an inspiration in my life. You're an incredible mom, a phenomenal athlete. And I only hope that I can continue to be just like a good, positive representation for the girls. So, Juniper and Irie.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for inviting me on here. For real, I'm just grateful for you. And you have helped me continue my journey as an athlete, even post-retirement, like through, you know, your at home hit challenge that we had before, and then now through Tone and Sculpt, the app, like I use it probably 5 or 6 days a week, like, and I'm following a program, and I could not be more excited because I'm back in the gym lifting heavy. Yes. Moving some weight.
Yes,
like you are definitely a part of my journey forever. I mean, obviously because you're my cousin, but like
you can't get rid of me, sis. I'm here to stay. But all right, guys. Juniper's trying to do the outro for me, but thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. I appreciate every listen. I appreciate all of your time. Thank you so much for being here, for listening to this important conversation. Let's take these conversations offline, take them home, bring them to your inner circle. I want you guys to remember to go be great today. Don't you dare settle. And remember that you're always, always, always doing this for you. Stay tuned for our next podcast coming up next week. See you guys soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.